Our scripture reading today comes to us from the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. That was Ephesians chapter 3, 20 and 21.
To God be the glory. You know, in the book of Ephesians, it tells a lot about the riches and the blessings that come to us from God and from his Son, Jesus Christ. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. And then on down in verse 18, we read, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is that hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And then in chapter 2 and verse 7, it talks about the riches of God's grace, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. So Paul is trying to get us to understand that our God loves us. Our God gives to us every day of our lives. Now in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, we somewhat see a panoramic view of the way that God blesses us in the many ways and the sources of his blessings. The source of his blessings, of course, is from God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we know that all of our blessings come from him. And without him, of course, we would have nothing. The scope of our blessings is every blessing. Because Paul again said every spiritual blessing that we have comes from God. And you and I today, sitting in this room, are spiritually blessed because we are a part of God and he blesses us because we are indeed a part of him. Now, the sphere of his blessings or the enormity of his blessings is in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, heaven is why we are here today, isn't it? It is our ultimate goal to be with God someday in heaven. God, who is there now in the heavenly places, blesses us today from the heavenly places to help us understand that this is where the real blessings are. And we need those blessings. And we can have those blessings if we will serve him as best we can. So this tells us a little bit about God's blessings toward us. And because of these blessings, we give God glory. We honor him. We offer him our love. We offer him our devotion because this is what he deserves. John writes in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And again, this just simply tells us that everything that we have, everything that we are, is a gift that has come to us from our Heavenly Father. Now, what I want us to do today is I want us to take a quick look at some of the things that he has actually done for us. And the first thing is this. God settled my largest debt. Now, look with me in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul says here, you were dead in the trespasses of sin. You were dead. Now, no one in this room is dead, right? We're all here, we're living, we're breathing, and we plan to get up and continue to live and breathe when we leave here today. But Paul is telling, we're dead. At one time, we were dead. Of course, he is talking about being spiritually dead. And if we go on and read the next two verses, he will explain in great detail the ways that we were dead because we followed the devil, the prince of the air, because we followed the lust of our minds, because we did all of these things that was contrary to the word of God. And because of this, we are indeed spiritually dead. And then he said, and you were this way. Every one of us was this way at one time in our life. We were spiritually dead. So, our condition in life was death. Now, jump down to verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus sent His Son into this world to give His life a ransom for our soul, and in the process settled our greatest debt. God has settled our greatest debt. How? The cross. You know, when we survey the wondrous cross, and we love to sing that song, four things actually take place. First of all, we see heaven's pledge. John 14 and verse 2, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. This is a pledge from Christ Himself. This is a promise from Christ Himself. It is to you and to me. And He is preparing that home right now for us. And oh, how magnificent it is going to be. That's heaven's pledge, this place that God is preparing for us. Another thing, He has promised the devil's defeat. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Through death, He might destroy the one who has the power of death. That is the devil. And deliver all of those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. And again, He's talking about every one of us. Because every one of us at one time were spiritually dead. We were looking at an eternity of spiritual death. But because Christ came, and because of His death on the cross, we don't have to look at death in our near future. And the third thing is the sinner's plea. Listen to Romans chapter 5, verses 6 beginning. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that was our plea. Because this is something we cannot do alone. This is something that we cannot do for each other. It is something that can only be done by the blood of Christ. And then finally, we have the Christian's hope. Titus, and I got the wrong scripture up there, I'm sorry. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. We are debt free. Every one of us who are children of God. So He settled our largest debt. The next thing that He did, He satisfied my deepest need. Now the reason that we have a need is because we have a problem. And our problem, of course, is sin. For you see, sin causes guilt. John tells us in 1 John 3 and verse 4, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. And sin is lawlessness. James tells us in James chapter 2 and verse 10 the very same thing. Whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. We are guilty of sin in our lives. Sin causes guilt. sin also associates us with Satan. John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, he says, "You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth. There is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." And if we believe him, and if we follow him, our plight will be the same as him. We associate ourselves with him. And then sin also just simply makes us sick. You know, Jesus parallels this to fruit. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 17, "So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit." And we are expected to bear fruit, aren't we? As children of God, we bear spiritual fruit. And it's either going to be good fruit or it's going to be bad fruit. Unfortunately today, a lot more bad fruit comes along than good fruit. And then, of course, it separates us from God. I'm not going to read Isaiah chapter 59 because the whole chapter deals with this, but it's telling us that we separate ourselves from the Lord. He doesn't do it. We do it to ourselves. Paul tells us that we are all guilty because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then he goes on to tell us in Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of this separation is death. So sin is our number one problem. And because of that problem, we have a number one need. And that need is forgiveness. We need God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness does several things for us. Paul tells us that God's forgiveness will remove condemnation. Now, nobody in here wants to be condemned, and especially we don't want to be spiritually condemned. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." How can that be? Because the blood of Jesus has removed that condemnation, because the blood of Jesus has removed our sin. God's forgiveness will make us alive, alive in Christ. Ephesians 2 and verse 1, "Remember, we were dead in our trespasses of sin." But then in verse 5 and 6, "But even though we were dead in sin, now we have been made alive in Christ." So we have completed that circle. We are now in Christ, even though we at one time, of course, were dead. And then God's forgiveness reunites us with God. Listen to Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 18. "All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." We have been brought back because we at one time were far away from Jesus Christ. So God has satisfied that deepest need that we have in forgiveness. And then God has also provided for us our greatest desire, and that, of course, is guidance. You know, Jesus guides us in many ways. You know, Jesus asked on one occasion that we be united with him as he is with his Father. And he can help us walk in that unity. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. "Therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And Christ can help us do that. He can keep us on that narrow path. He can keep us moving in the right direction, and he can keep us together as we do so, if we will only allow it. He can help us walk in truth and holiness. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 21. If you indeed have heard him and have been taught of him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Truth. Righteousness. That's what we can have. Holiness can be ours through Jesus Christ. And then, God can help us walk in love. Ephesians 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. And then not only that, he can help us walk together in light, and he can help us walk together in wisdom. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 8, and again he says, for you were once darkness. And what happens to the darkness? It's lost. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And when we do that, the Lord will guide us, and he will guide us in all things. If we will follow his word, if we will obey his commands, then he can help us walk in righteousness and guide us. God be the glory. He guides us through life. And then finally, God has prepared my highest longing, and that being of heaven. If I ask the question, who in here wants to spend eternity in heaven? Every hand would go up, I know. One just did. We all want there, don't we? This is why we are here. We know this is not our final place. We know God has something better in store for us, and this is what we want. We want to spend eternity in heaven. Why? Because Jesus Christ himself has given us an invitation to come, to be with him, to live with him for all eternity. Listen to this wonderful invitation. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Oh, heaven is definitely a place, and we want to go there. We want to go there because that's where our citizenship is. Peter said, we're sojourners here. We're just temporary travelers on this planet. This is not home. This is not where we want to stay. This is not where we belong. We belong with God. Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, now I got the wrong one up there again, 20:21, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly await for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body. Oh, what a wonderful thought. God be the glory. He has given us this home, and it is ours. And it's not just for a short period of time, but it is for eternity. To God be the glory. The only fitting response to all of this is to glorify God, especially in the church, because you and I sit here today in the company of those who are redeemed. We have obeyed God's word. We worship him in spirit and in truth, and we serve him every day of our lives. True? That's the way it should be. Unfortunately, sometimes it doesn't work that way. Sometimes, instead of glorifying God, we become angry with God because things have not gone our way. We may even get to the point that we will detest God because of something that has gone wrong in our lives, when in reality, we should glorify him. Because even though the worst happens to us in this life, look what is ahead of us in the life yet to come if we will follow Him, if we will serve Him, if we will love Him. So I ask you this morning, are you living your life so that you can receive glory from God? You see, if we will glorify God, God will glorify us. If we will offer Him love and devotion, He gives us love and devotion now, but look what He is going to give us in eternity if we will follow Him now. So do you glorify God with your life? This morning, if you are not a Christian, you can glorify God today by giving your life to Him, by becoming a Christian. And friend, if you have not been glorifying God as a child of God, you can begin again today and go back to that point to where you began a long time ago and love Him and serve Him once again. God has made both possible through His love and His glory to us. So today, will you glorify God? If so, do it now, while we stand and sing this song to encourage you.